This is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Do you remember when the drive from San Antonio to Austin used to be a long stretch of mostly farm and ranch land and then Snake Farm? Make that trip today, and then the 80-mile drive is almost entirely developed. New Braunfels and San Marcos are seeing incredible growth, as is San Antonio and Austin, and that drive is frequently jammed up with stop-and-go traffic, and that growth still isn't slowing down. So how do we get ahead of the expansion of San Antonio and Austin as it becomes one mega region, making smart decisions about progress so the area doesn't choke on its own success? Former San Antonio Mayor and HUD Secretary Henry Cisneros is asking others to join him in finding solutions. Cisneros will deliver opening remarks at the upcoming Austin-San Antonio Area Growth Summit tomorrow, October 8th, in San Marcos. The event brings together regional leaders and stakeholders to discuss the challenges and opportunities facing this fast-growing corridor. Cisneros is also the co-author of a new book on the topic, The Austin-San Antonio Mega Region, Opportunity and Challenge in the Lone Star State. And Henry Cisneros joins us now to tell us more. Henry, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And congratulations on the success of The Source. People set their day by it. So,
well, we have to record this because you're so busy going on getting this this summit going on. So we can't take calls right now. But as we see the growth between San Antonio and Austin, if we did nothing and we just sat back and just let the growth happen, what would we end up with?
Well, first of all, the growth is going to happen. It's not a question of if it's going to happen or we have to work hard to make it happen. That's not the case. It is going to happen. There are just no barriers to the attractiveness of this region, whether it's the fact that we don't have oceans blocking us or mountains blocking us. The state government tax policy is positive. The demographics of the region with a large youthful population of a future workforce is positive. The legendary sort of Texas can-do dynamic is working for us. We have the great universities, multiple, University of Texas in Austin, Texas State in San Marcos, UTSA and A&M San Antonio in San Antonio. It's just a region set to go. And the proof of it is that the census says from the northern suburbs of Austin to the south San Antonio today is 5.3 million people. And while you mentioned a moment ago the strip that is IH-35 and what's happened along it, the truth of the matter is far on both sides, as far out as, let's say, Bastrop even, and Lockhart on the east, Seguin to the east, and all along the corridor, the suburbs to the north in Williamson County, Georgetown, Leander, Round Rock, Cedar Park, and then, of course, New Braunfels is now 110,000 people, and San Marcos is about 80,000 people, including a 41,000 student university. So it's more like a column than it is, you know, a narrow corridor. But if we don't plan for this inevitability of growth, then we're going to end up with a pretty congested public policy problematic. By that I mean inadequate water for housing permits. We have to be very careful about having enough power for the technology that is driving both economies, including data centers that are thirsty for power, electrical power. If we don't work on these things, if we don't work on our human resources and training issues, et cetera, then it's going to be, frankly, a kind of a hot mess, a hot Texas mess. And it doesn't have to be that way, because we can see this happening, because there's a lot of basis for cooperation. The meeting that I'm speaking at tomorrow is an example of that. So I think the message from me is let's get our heads together, rational and cool, and think about the things that need to be done. Road infrastructure, rail infrastructure, water infrastructure, electric power infrastructure, educational infrastructure, human resources support, all of these things that will make this a fantastic experience for the country, a place that not only grew, but became better as it grew.
So we can have this growth. The growth is going to happen, but it can grow as just this massive tumor of disconnected communities just run up against each other, or it can grow as healthy tissue where we're able to have strength and dynamism and just really improve quality of life and economic opportunity. So if good decisions are made now and there's proper investment and leadership, what describe a day in a life. What would it look like? Would I be able to zoom up the corridor to one city to another in some high-speed fashion? Will there be economic opportunity? Will be all kind of interconnected? What would that like? What would that look like?
Well, that's interesting that you would ask it that way. I've never been asked sort of what would it look like, but I'll give it a try. It would look like multiple corridors that includes I-35, but also better use of SH-130 to the east and better use of 281 to the west, and rail on one or more of those corridors. It would look like some horizontal connections across from 35 over to SH-130, for example, perhaps in New Braunfels, perhaps at San Marcos. And that would enable some of the growth to fill in to the east in the Blackland dirt country that is to the east, unlike the caverns and sensitive limestone to the west. It would look like connections between our universities. So students studying at UTSA could take a rail system and find themselves at the University of Texas or Texas State. It would look like collaboration on medical specialties so that together between our health science center and the Dell complex in Austin, there'd be a world-class availability of medical care. It would look like collaboration between airports so that people could go virtually anywhere in the country or the world in the airports that collaborated on routes, for example. It would look like a community that has thought through its water supply, so there's ample water, and we don't have to go through what Phoenix has had to go through, which is holding up housing permits because there isn't enough water. It would look like rational use of power so that we are already using solar and wind more than most places, but we probably would add additional nuclear to what we have because it's clean and because it's relatively cheap compared to other sources that require, that are more expensive per kilowatt hour. It would look like quality of life amenities, like the Great Springs Project, designed to link Barton Springs right through San Marcos Springs and Comal Springs to the Blue Hole in northern San Antonio, and then the river and the River Walk and the Missions Reach and the Arboretum. It would look like a place that people enjoy living in and has a quality of life, and there's greater prosperity and greater options in everything, medical choices, entertainment. That's, I think, what it would look like.
It sounds like if we get it right, there are so many opportunities. But if we do nothing, it'll be just a lot of lost opportunities and frustration?
Well, I think it'll be a flash in the pan. Because it's going to grow for a time, and then the very things we fail to do will be our own death knell. And I cite examples from across the country and U.S. history. For example, the Northeast was once the heart of the Industrial Revolution and the creation of steel implements and factories and textiles in factories all up in New England, Boston, Lowell, Springfield, into Providence, et cetera. In fact, some people would say the reason the North won the Civil War because it was an industrial economy producing armaments, unlike the cotton economy of the South. But they made mistakes related to not adjusting to new economic trends and labor issues, and all those industries went other places. And today, if you go to Lowell, Massachusetts, there's buildings along the rivers. The rivers used to power the energy for those buildings, and they're now converted into other kinds of spaces, make workspaces, creative workshops, etc. But the communities are suffering. After World War II, you go to Detroit, and it was the industrial center of the United States. It was 2 million people in Detroit. After World War II, they'd finished building tanks and trucks for the war effort. They converted to cars. And at a time when the consumer economy was booming, you remember those Cadillacs or the great big fins, they all came out of Detroit. They missed the understanding of the American people wanting more fuel efficiency. They got had labor issues. And soon Detroit, well, it now has 600,000 people. It once had 2 million. There's vast parts of Detroit that are wasteland. Silicon Valley was the next place that exploded. And Silicon Valley, I spoke there as HUD secretary to a group working on, like, what do we do to prepare for the future? I said, you need to prepare housing for the workforce. Today, people choose not to go to Silicon Valley because they can't afford the housing. Or if they do, they have to drive literally 50 miles.
Right. So, so you're describing this growth as opportunity, but also it could be an existential threat to the communities that we know today. We're going to I got to take a break here. We're going to continue our conversation with Henry Cisneros about the mega region Austin San Antonio right after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line is Henry Cisneros. He's the co-author of a new book, The Austin San Antonio Mega Region, Opportunity and Challenge in the Lone Star State. He is organizing a summit of stakeholders and regional leaders getting together tomorrow to talk about the opportunities and challenge for this region as we see all of this growth. How do we get ahead of it? How do we create opportunities, quality of life, instead of just choking on the success of all this growth? So Henry Cisneros, you know, what kind, you know, the leadership question, because we have so many communities, each one has their own mayor, their own county government, their own economic development agencies. They see themselves, I think, as competitors. How do we change that mindset into thinking about them as partners?
Well, first of all, the point I was making by going through these different parts of the United States that have once had their moment in the sun and then sort of watched it set is that we can avoid that. We are going to have that moment. In fact, it may be very near that literally Austin, San Antonio is thought of as the most dynamic place in the United States. We're very close to that. The point is to use it wisely and not make the kinds of mistakes of lack of preparation that other places have made. Be aware of the changes in the economy and the needs that we have, and do something that is maybe the first time ever, which is that golden moment is extended for a long time, and many people benefit from it. And we create ladders of mobility for people who are at the bottom of the ladder today, and we create great wealth for people who succeed in the economy of the region. So I think all of that is before us. Now, as to the leadership question, it is true that we have a lot of different communities, a lot of different even counties in the mix, but it is also true that people are beginning to talk about working together. This summit tomorrow is an example of leaders coming together to talk about where we are. The rail project has been both evidence of failure to collaborate, but also today, Judge Andy Brown in Travis County, Austin, and Judge Sakai, Bexar County, San Antonio, are talking together, bringing people together to talk about really trying to seriously get a handle on rail between our two cities. You have other issues where people are collaborating. Seguin, for example, long left out of economic development, now is a manufacturing hub. The Japanese are there on large scale. Holt has facilities there. They're collaborating in our economic development. That's why it's called Greater SATX, because it's no longer just San Antonio fighting for San Antonio, funded by San Antonio. It's the region working together. Similarly, our workforce, our community college is now putting colleges in Kerrville and talking about one to the northwest and along the 35 corridor. So I think there's a lot of latent collaboration. What we may lack is some sort of overarching governance structure, and maybe that's the kind of thing that needs to come out of a meeting like tomorrow.
We're going to need state leadership. Is there like a legislative caucus of all the lawmakers from this region working together on a plan?
There is a lot of collaboration across the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, for example, on road construction. Luckily, we of San Antonio had Bruce Bug as chair of TxDOT for about more than 10 years. And he did a great job of, if you go up 35 now, you see the beginnings of the double decking of 35, which, you know, basically doubles its capacity. TxDOT is even talking about ways of doing mass transit possibilities along that route. You see collaboration among our legislators on matters of water. It was a great state and local collaboration that established Vista Ridge, the water source that we're bringing in from Burleson County up near Caldwell, 150 miles down into San Antonio, and increase our water supply by 25%. So there's a lot of instances of collaboration. We need to do more. And I think the idea of an Austin-San Antonio caucus, a regional, mega-region caucus, is a very good idea.
What about the identity? How do we form a, you know, that I am from this mega region, or I can still say I'm from San Antonio, but I'm from the west side or different, you know, I'm from this part of town. You can still have, you know, micro identity to your location, but then trying to incorporate everyone that we're from this region and that we are all in this together.
Well, I think when people recognize the mutual benefit that comes from being from the region, they'll refer to it more. I'm impressed, for example. On my television set at home, our cable company is Spectrum. Spectrum has a facility in Austin. And when I turn on the Spectrum Channel 1 at home, I get Austin news and San Antonio news intertwined and news from around the region. Very interesting. I've not investigated just how exactly they do it. Do they have studios in both places?
They have studios in Austin.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, also, so the Hearst Corporation now owns the San Antonio Express News and the Austin American Statesman.
Oh, and by the way, the Houston Dallas papers, too.
Sure. But, you know, and Texas Public Radio, we work with KUT. We share content all the time back and forth. So using media to...
Media is one possibility, one option. The other is things like, you know, our Spurs are now playing up to 6 games in Austin. People weren't sure with the University of Texas basketball team that they would fill up an arena, but they've done very, very well. And they are the San Antonio Spurs, but there are a lot of people in Austin that follow them. In due course, there will be other major leagues. Soccer league now in Austin, they have a major league soccer league team. In due course, there's going to be baseball. How can you not come to a region? David, I mentioned earlier, there's 5.3 million people here now. The census tells us, and that's the census, their objective analysis, that in 2050, which is only 25 years from now, in 2050, they're projecting 8.3 million people in this region. Now think of that. The difference between 5.3 and 8.3 is 3 million people. That's a city the size of Chicago being descending into the real estate between Pflugerville and Floresville, a city the size of Chicago, right? And 25 years, I don't know whether it'll happen in 25 years, maybe slightly longer than that, I don't know. But 25 years is the same distance we've come from 2000. If you can remember what you were doing in 2000, and I think you were on this same job, David, at Texas Public Radio, then that's how much longer we have to 2050 when this all unfolds.
So I've got about 3 minutes left here. Austin's, you know, income levels are higher than San Antonio's. Housing is cheaper in San Antonio than it is in Austin. If we can find some way to effectively, you know, move people up and down the corridor, we can share the riches that each community has. Is Austin as invested in trying to link up with San Antonio as we are with them?
I've been impressed with people like Judge Andy Brown and also the Mayor Kirk Watson, who's collaborated. By the way, this book that we've written is the result of a television documentary we did with KLRN. It's usually the other way around. There's a book and then somebody does a documentary. This was a documentary that included a lot of Austin people and aired in Austin on the local PBS station in Austin. And then a book came out of it. But there's more and more, I think, understanding that we're kind of in this together, and the payoff is big together. There's some great successes going to occur as this process plays out.
And it has to happen now. Are we too late?
I think we're, you know, almost too late for some things. Once upon a time, we talked about a joint airport between Austin and San Antonio. I think that probably was not a good idea ever because we were just too far apart and people don't want to give up the convenience of their local airports. But we're going to be a city like major metros in America, like Los Angeles that has LAX and Burbank and John Wayne in Orange County, like Washington that's got Baltimore, Washington, Dulles, and Reagan. We're going to have two airports. And San Antonio needs to keep up with its terminal, and that investment is now occurring. But we're probably too late for a major collaboration, but that's okay. As you grow as a region, you probably need multiple airports, for example. So we can make lemonade out of lemons if we're confronting lemons now, and I think we probably are in traffic congestion, but we can steadily stay about it and maintain a quality of life.
Well, I've got about a minute here. What's your top of the list priority that you think we ought to try to really put our energy into right now? Low hanging fruit.
I think it's traffic congestion. I think we really can't be a region when we rely on one spine, which is I-35, moving 18-wheelers up from Laredo full of trade merchandise up into the heartland of the country, and also be the spine that moves people, human beings. So we need rail on that corridor. We need SH-135 better utilized. It's going to be because we've seen companies now locate along SH-130. And other means to sort of fill in. Again, this is not going to be just a corridor. I expect it's going to be probably 30 miles wide from Austin to San Antonio where this development occurs.
Henry Cisneros, he is the co-author, along with Bob Rivard and David Hendricks, of the book, The Austin-San Antonio Mega Region, Opportunity and Challenge in the Lone Star State. He is also leading a summit of regional leaders discussing these challenges tomorrow. And Henry Cisneros, thanks for coming on The Source.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation. Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.